Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the US election approaches, the stakes are higher than ever, with both domestic and foreign policy hanging in the balance. And with me now to share his insights is Charles Myers, chairman and founder of Signum Global Advisors, a leading Democratic donor and previous advisor to presidential candidates Biden and Kamala Harris. He's also in Dublin for an event organised by Irish Life Investment Managers, and they will hear his insights on geopolitical risks and how they might impact markets. But here we're going to talk more politics than risk, although it involves both, I'm sure. Charles, good morning and welcome.
Great, thanks for having me.
We have to ask you about the overnight developments, the narrow escape of Donald Trump. Although he was two holes away from the shooter was on his golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's the second assassination attempt on a presidential candidate and former president. It's shocking how poorly protected he is by the Secret Service. There's already been a shakeup in the Secret Service. I think more heads are going to roll, but it's pretty alarming.
The local sheriff, though, was pretty good. He said these guys did their job. After all, he is not the sitting president. If he were, we'd have surrounded the whole place. But he's only a candidate, so therefore...
That's fair. That's fair. But again, you know, the fact that there have been two that have gotten relatively close should set off more alarm bells.
What do you make of what you know of this guy so far? He may not be, sound in every firing on every cylinder, shall we say.
Yeah, on this one, because he was captured alive, we're going to learn a lot more about him. I don't think it was as politically motivated, perhaps. There may have been some mental health issues. I think there were some concerns about Ukraine, but we don't have a lot of information yet.
Okay, let's talk about the candidates. You are well acquainted with Kamala Harris.
Yes, another 14 years.
So tell me about her.
You know, what I would say about Kamala Harris is almost everybody in the U.S., including Trump and his team and around the world, underestimated her. And I think it's because they bought into the prevailing narrative that as vice president, she's been at best invisible or useless. At worst, they say horrible things about her. The truth is, she's actually incredibly talented. You don't get in the United States, or I would argue any country, from assistant district attorney to attorney general of California to Senate for 15 minutes to vice president and now very likely president of the United States without being an incredibly talented politician. She had that incredible advantage. Everyone, including Trump, underestimated her.
Now, that is an advantage, to be the underdog and then to surprise everyone with your 40-yard throw or whatever it might be. But did Joe Biden not contribute to her relative anonymity?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think she was being held down intentionally by the White House. When you're vice president, you know, one of the main sort of, you know, parts of your job is to never upstage the president. So I think there was a real attempt by the Biden White House to kind of keep her down. Then they gave her the border as a job, which is impossible. So I think that there was some contribution to that perception by the White House. Now she's broken out. What the world is seeing today is the Kamala that I and many people who have been close to her, I was co-chair of her 2020 presidential campaign. What the world is seeing today of Kamala is the Kamala that we know very well. And if she wins, is the Kamala that will be president.
And you have no doubts as to her ability to hold down that job. But I've heard a number of people, including Anthony Scaramucci, say, look, America is a misogynist country, and it's not the only country in the world that is misogynist. And there will be lots of people, including many women, who just don't see the president as a woman's job.
Yeah, you know, we hear that a lot. We heard that with Hillary in 16. I think the question then is, as today, is the United States ready for a woman president? Absolutely. Were they ready for Hillary Clinton back then? Probably not. Today, I think they're ready for Kamala Harris. The other quick thing that's helped her is the fact that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The fact that women's reproductive freedoms are truly under threat across the country means we're going to have record turnout by women, more women than men vote in the United States. I think that's one of the reasons she wins.
Now, what do you think is Trump's mindset at the moment? Because he insisted in the spin room after the debate that he won. And he quoted these polls from, I don't know, mysterious sources that he had won by 73%, by 93%. And no one knew what polls he was referring to.
Yeah, so I think, we'd put that in the very, very full category of Trump lies. So it's very hard to, you know, sometimes know where he's sourcing any information.
But is it lie or delusion?
Well, I would say it's a great question, though, Pat, because, you know, the truth is, since Biden dropped out on July 21st, Kamala has now become the nominee. I would say Trump is very much on the back foot. You see it. But he and his campaign are on the back foot. They don't quite know how to attack her, how to define her. So he's defaulted to what he normally does, which is go very personal, right? Go after race, go after gender, which is not working. So I'd say he's floundering at the moment. You can see it. We saw it at the debate. I thought she did a very good job. And you're seeing it even with all the reporting that he may want to drop his vice president from the ticket.
Now, talk to me about J.D. Vance, because you mentioned that Joe Biden did, in a sense, conspire to make Kamala Harris kind of anonymous and succeeded in large measure because she was the best kept secret for so long. What about the choice of VPs? First of all, Tim Walz, he's not hiding his light behind a bushel. He's larger than life.
Absolutely. You know, Tim Walz was probably the least well-known of all the, you know, finalists for vice president for Kamala. But I think the launch has been great. He's come across very well. His net favorability is very high. I think it's gone down very well.
And then on the other hand, J.D. Vance.
Yeah, so J.D. Vance is one of my favorite topics. You know, he was chosen right before the Republican convention at a time when Trump was 5 points ahead, literally 5 points ahead in the swing states. Vance was a safety pick at that time. And what Trump did is he went with someone who looks and now kind of somewhat in a funny way, dressed identically to him, but would really carry the mantle of Trumpism into the future. He did not go with someone like Nikki Haley that would have broadened his appeal. So I think there's huge buyer's remorse around J.D. Vance. He has a negative 10 favorability rating. He's landed like a lead balloon on that campaign. And I, you know, there's all this reporting Trump wants to drop him. The way I look at it is Vance is like an unwanted pregnancy. He's going to have to carry him to term.
So there's no mechanism unless J.D. Vance is literally to fall on his own sword.
Correct. J.D. Vance can self-select out. The president cannot fire him or remove him from the ticket because he's been confirmed by the delegates.
Did you happen to see the quote from J.D. Vance about Taylor Swift? That we love her music, but who is going to listen to the opinions of a celebrity billionaire without a trace of irony?
Yes, no, exactly. So, you know, I've been involved in American politics for 30 years. I'm a little skeptical of, you know, celebrity endorsements. However, where Taylor does help is in helping register young voters. And when young voters register, they typically register and vote Democratic. So I think on the margin, she may be somewhat helpful.
Going back to J.D. Vance, the notion that the vice president is just a heartbeat away from the presidency. Now, Donald Trump probably thinks he'll live forever, so it'll never happen, whether it's an assassin's bullet or illness that takes him. He doesn't believe it's going to happen anytime soon. But at the same time, the council around him would be saying, hang on a second, should anything happen to you, sir, is this guy fit to be president? Did that ever cross his horizon, do you think?
You know, I think for Trump, in the end, because it was a safety pick, I think he wanted to pick someone that he knew would never try to upstage him, never question him, and in the end was, you know, young enough to really, you know, carry Trumpism long into the future. But, you know, for as I've been saying to everyone, you know, Trump is 78, has lived on a diet of cheeseburgers. Like, there's a very high probability if Trump wins, J.D. Vance could become president in the next 4 years. We need to get to know him. But I do know there's a lot of buyer's remorse on that campaign. And lastly, you know, the biggest surprise in our election could be, and we've had, you know, four political black swan events already. The biggest one could be if he drops Vance and brings Nikki or someone like that onto the ticket.
What would that say about his judgment, though?
Yeah, I think that's the main reason he won't. We have 49 days to the election. It's going to be kind of hard to the optics would be terrible. And it would imply that he Trump is very bad at decision making. So, again, I think he carries him all the way to the
election. Nikki Haley clearly is absolutely shameless because she has abased herself before Trump by deciding to support him in spite of her excoriating criticisms of him in the primary campaign.
Look, I mean, absolutely. But Nikki Haley would take that. If she was offered the VP job, she would take it in a heartbeat. Again, Trump is 78 and, you know, she'd have a pretty high probability of becoming president. If not in the next 4 years, she'd be the front runner for 2028.
So it doesn't matter to hell with humiliation.
No principles.
Talk to me then about the swing states and what the polls are saying at the moment. They seem to be, some of them at least, neck and neck.
Absolutely. So, you know, Kamala Harris has done two things in the last 6 weeks, really remarkably. One, completely unite the Democratic Party behind her. She's raised over $700 million. Over the entire election, when the 16 election cycle with Hillary, we raised $1 billion. Kamala's raised a little over $700 million in 6 weeks. That's one thing she's done. The second, though, to your question, is she has closed the polling gap with Trump. Biden was 5 points behind on average in the swing states. Today, she's ahead by 0.2%. Again, tied, but she's closed that gap. The entire election is going to come down to Pennsylvania, probably between 10 and 30,000 votes. As I've been telling all of our clients, watch polling and voter registration data in Pennsylvania. That's going to tell us who's going to win. I think she pulls it off.
Okay. Now, Joe Biden himself seems reinvigorated following pulling out. Now, we were told he was resentful about Nancy Pelosi and how they basically had removed him from the ticket. I'm not sure. We may never know the full truth of his thought process about that. But watching him on the campaign trail, I don't know if you saw the video of the guy coming up with the MAGA hat and swapping baseball caps with Joe Biden. And he called Joe Biden a boring old fart. And Joe responded in a very humorous way. I mean, sometimes that clip has been misinterpreted, but Joe is having fun.
Yeah. Well, look, I think, you know, I would say that we've never had this happen before in the history of the United States, where a sitting president won his primary and then was essentially forced out. We say he dropped out. He was forced out of the race by Nancy and the congressional Democratic congressional leadership, which, by the way, was absolutely the right call. I think it's taken him a while to process it. I know he's very proud of Kamala, but I have to imagine he's still deep down somewhat angry and bitter about it.
Now, there is the possibility that Trump will win. And I know that's not in your calculations in terms of assessing geopolitical risk and therefore investment risk and so on. There's also the possibility that he'll be beaten narrowly by Kamala Harris. There's also the possibility that he may be walloped by Kamala Harris. Now, being walloped in the popular vote does not necessarily get you across the line in the swing states. So suppose it is a narrow victory for Kamala Harris. What then?
Yeah, well, look, I think that Kamala will win the popular vote. The question is, can she win the swing states? And I think she will. If she wins Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, she wins the White House. Having said that, to answer your question, Trump has already said that he will only accept the results if he wins, which, by the way, is obviously a deeply, deeply problematic statement in any democracy. So we should expect him to challenge the results if he loses. He has a better team of lawyers in place already than last time when he had Giuliani and Sidney Powell. So he will challenge the results. I think we will have a similar situation to 2020. The election was on a Tuesday. We didn't have the official result until Saturday because of automatic recounts and challenges. I think we could have a slight delay, but whoever wins, it'll be recertified through the recounts and the courts. I feel very good about it. And lastly, I do think we will have a peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah, the likelihood of Trump trying to do another January 6th, you think that would be utterly unacceptable even to some of his own supporters?
I do. I think it's unlikely, you know, for a couple of reasons. One, if he loses again on November 5th, he'll have lost twice. Your credibility on the election being stolen goes down. Secondly, our law enforcement agencies will be much more attuned to the possibility of any kind of, you know, violence or other. Having said that, I don't want to discount a few, isolated events. In 2020, there was a group of right-wing militiamen who wanted to kidnap and murder the governor of Michigan. So I don't want to discount a few isolated events, but overall, if he loses, he won't accept the results. It will be recertified and it will be a peaceful transfer of power. I feel very good about that. And lastly, the most interesting question to me is, what does the Republican Party do with him? If he loses, I think they purge him very quickly and throw him under the bus.
But so many of them have made themselves in his own image. What for them? For, you know, everyone from little Marco to all the rest of a pretty appalling basket of deplorables who have literally thrown out their own ethics, their own morals, their own political standpoint to follow in the Trump shadow.
Absolutely. But as we've already seen, you know, after he lost in 2020, they all threw him under the bus. He then won the nomination for this election. They're all back on board. He loses again. They will again reverse course and run again, you know, be against him. But the truth is, if he loses, there will be a huge internal ideological struggle within the Republican Party of J.D. Vance and the Trump wing versus Nikki Haley, Liz Cheney and the moderate wing. It'll be really interesting to see which of the two wings prevails. If it is the moderate wing, the Republican Party has a future. If it's the Trump wing, looking out to 2028, they will be increasingly a minority opposition party. So as a Democrat, I kind of hope for the, you know, for the J.D. Vance wing to prevail. But overall, the Republican Party is much more disciplined, much more united ideologically, and better at winning. I think they will purge him, and the moderate wing will be the front runners in 2028. And lastly, I'd say great for the country. We need a moderate opposition, as a country. If we're going to lose, if the Democrats are going to lose, let's lose to people like, you know, Mitt Romney or someone that's moderate. So I look forward to watching that internal struggle. It's going to be a blood sport.
So all of the issues that are on the table, I mean, domestically, I suppose primarily the economy, the cost of living and so on, and immigration are the two. Internationally, we have the war in Ukraine and, of course, Gaza.
Yes.
To be resolved by the next president.
Yes. Yeah, so domestically for voters, the biggest issue by far is the economy. I think it's a wash for Harris. She's not getting credit for the soft landing or the record stock market because the cost of living is high. After that, the number two issue for voters absolutely bifurcates. If you're Republican, it's border security, as you mentioned. If you're a Democrat, it's women's reproductive freedom and or the defense of democracy. I think the latter will be a much bigger driver of turnout of voters for Harris. But Ukraine and Gaza absolutely are issues. They just don't play in our election. As you know, our elections tend to not really be about foreign policy. But the outcome matters. If Trump wins, he will try to end the war sooner in Ukraine. And I think the outcome will be much worse for Ukraine and the EU, better for Russia on the margin. Whereas with Harris, the war continues much longer. Secondly, for Israel, Gaza, I don't think the outcome of our election makes any difference.
And the threat by Putin that he will regard any use of long-range missiles provided by either Britain or the United States as being at war with NATO?
Yeah, I think it's a threat and rhetoric because Ukraine is absolutely going to be given the go-ahead by the UK and the US to use long-range missiles into Russia.
Isn't it ironic that they will use their missiles sourced from China or Iran or whatever to destroy what they can in Ukraine?
Absolutely. I think in the short term, we should expect an escalation in Ukraine because of this issue, because Putin will need to respond. I don't think it'll be a nuclear response, but I do think we will see a military escalation here over the next couple months. It is a very important issue for Ukraine.
Charles Myers, chairman and founder of Signum Global Advisors, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.